Amen and amen. All right. Just remain standing if you will. If you're in the auditorium, we'll turn our scriptures. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me mention just this couple of things as we're turning in our scripture. Of course, we always mention birthdays and anniversaries. We've got a birthday in our church family this week. Brother Trevor Rickard turns another year old on Friday this week. And so I hope Trevor has a happy birthday and is blessed of the Lord. Amen. Let's remember him on that special day on Friday, March 27th. And then, of course, we had scheduled a business meeting last Wednesday night that is postponed until further notice. Also, we have scheduled a baptism for tonight that is as well postponed until further notice. And so, if you will, be remembering these things and be praying that God would just bless and help in these days, in times like these. Things are out of our control. Often we say, when that happens, we say, well, I guess I'll just have to pray about it. One fellow said, has it really come down to that? Amen. Has it really got that bad? Yes, it's that bad. It's been that bad a long time. We've been needing to pray about those things. And so I hope that you'll be in prayer for us and in prayer for us. I'm going to preach on prayer this morning by the help of the Lord. I'm going to preach on what I call the great privilege of prayer. Hebrews chapter number 10. Did I tell you that? Hebrews chapter 10. And begin reading verse number 19, and I will read down through that famous verse. I'll make a statement about that famous verse of verse 25 in a moment. Brother Simpson said, I ought to preach on laying out of church. That's what he said. He said, I should have done that Wednesday night on people being out of church, but we understand the circumstances that we're in. All right, let me look at verse number 19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As ye, plural, ye, see the day approaching. I'm going to stop reading there. That's reading two sentences from verse 19 through 25. Is two sentences, and I want to preach primarily on the first one, verse 19 through 22, and give you some statements on that. But I'll make a statement about these verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, for your blessings upon us. Although we're not able to gather with our brothers and sisters physically, Lord, we are trusting that they're listening in by way of radio. We're thankful for that opportunity. Lord, what a blessing that this technology is available to us today. The Lord, that we have the means of gathering around the radio, that we have the means of listening over the internet, and whether it be a phone or a computer or another device, Lord, we have that great possibility literally to gather together even though we're separated by perhaps many, many miles. Lord, we're grateful for that opportunity. And there's nothing like being able to physically be together, to be able to shake one another's hand, to be able to smile at one another, to be able to encourage one another. But Lord, help us in this limited time to do what we can with our limited ability. And I pray then, dear God, we'll trust you to do what we cannot do. And you send forth that encouragement. You send forth that exhorting. You send forth that provoking unto love and to good works. And Lord, that you'd accomplish your will. I pray, Father, now that you'd help us as we try to preach. Give us the anointing hand of God. Thank you for the Sunday school and for the example of Apollos and others in the past as Joshua gave those to us. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And Lord, help us in this day to have wisdom to know what to do. We'll thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. The text that I read, as I said, I want to just comment on that last sentence that I did read. I read two sentences. That one about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He said, considering one another. And it's out of that consideration that we have determined to listen to what the health officials are saying and to seclude ourselves for some time. It's not that we're, and by the way, I'll say this, my wife and I, we're not going everywhere and doing all kind of, we're primarily coming to church. I come to the radio station, I go home. She may go to the supermarket or the post office or, you know, whatever the needs be like that and then go home. And we're not moving around, making a lot of extra things. But I'm still trying to be here in the church at the regular church times and have things going in the regular way to keep things as much as possible in the normality in this abnormal time, as I said. But I'll say more about that in just a moment. But this scripture says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Right now, we cannot assemble in the same building, but you can assemble around the radio. I hope all of our people are, and I want to encourage you to do that. And again, I'll say more about that as well. But he talks about here, let us hold fast, verse 23, this last sentence. Let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Amen. Keep your faith in the Lord. Is Sunday morning worship really important? Is it important even when we're restricted like this? Is it important even when you're at home? Is it important when it's just you and your family? Is it? Yes, it's important. Hold fast that profession of faith. You've made a statement to your neighbors that church is important. Right now, perhaps your neighbors might get to hear singing come from your house. Amen. They might get to acknowledge worship going on in their neighborhood where maybe it's not been going on. Amen. It is still important. Hold fast that profession of faith. Hold it without wavering. Amen. And here's why. Even in troubled times, He is faithful. That promised. Amen and amen. Our confidence is in the Lord. My confidence, I've said it last Sunday, I'll say it again, is not in the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. My confidence is not in the WHO, the World Health Organization. My confidence is not in our Surgeon General, though he does seem to be doing a wonderful job. My confidence is not in these, not any individual, not the President, not his counselors, none of that. My confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, my message today is on prayer because we have access to God. We don't have access to the house of God like we have had. We don't have access to the restaurants like we have had. We don't have access to jobs like we have had, many people. I'm telling you, maybe don't have access to nursing homes. Somebody told me this week, there's a gentleman in Evansville, I think, in a nursing home, turned 100 years old. Recently they had a Brother Sam Robinson, their church did a 100 year anniversary or birthday thing for him last month. But his family's gone on vacation. They asked their pastor to look in on him, but he can't. He can't even get into him. Here sits a man in there that can't hear to listen over the phone. He can't understand why he's in there alone, why nobody's coming to see him and all these things. And so I'm thinking there's a lot of restrictions, but we still have access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And what a great privilege that it is to be able to pray. Amen. And so I say that in times like these, when things are upended, amen, and when things are evidently out of our control, it is time to pray. Amen. It is time to pray. The child of God does have the great privilege of prayer, and it is so needful and it is so helpful in such a time as this. Amen. Over the past week, by the way, that has passed so swiftly and yet seen such massive change in our society. The social landscape of our life has totally changed. Amen. Over this past week, I've tried to assess my place as pastor of this flock that is not able to gather together my responsibilities and my opportunities. And even with the radio ministry, now I said it earlier as we opened up this morning, I do believe the radio ministry is more important today than it ever has been, especially in times like these. Amen. But I want to address our church members and our radio audience, if I can, just with a few statements in the introduction, then I'll get to my sermon. And I'll not be real, real long this morning, more than likely, but I'll try to preach what's on my heart, what the Lord has given us. But speaking specifically to the members of the Island Ford Baptist Church, that both those that are present in the sanctuary and those that are gathered around by their listening by way of radio or some other device, I do realize that this is a unique situation. I hope it passes quickly. Amen. However, we do not know what the future holds. As of right now, my plans are, they said to shut down for 2 weeks. By the way, we weren't made to do that. We voluntarily did that. Now they would say it's definitely, it has to be done, no more than 10 people gathering. Our governor has made that official now. No exemptions, my understanding, on that. But just across the board. But anyway, having said all that, 2 weeks, and we're 1 week into that, really, almost a week and a half into the shutdown as far as we're concerned. We've got Marathon coming up on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And so I said to our radio crew that I don't think we want to come back on that Sunday right after Marathon. We're going to be tired, very tired, and don't want to have a big thing going on. So I think we'd be better served to wait until at least the following Wednesday, which would be that Wednesday later. That'll give us 3 full weeks of being just in a secluded time. And so we'll see. We'll make more announcements about that as it comes along. But I do hope that this thing passes. I hope that in 2 or 3 weeks we are able to gather back together. But as I said, we don't know what the restrictions are going to be placed upon us by the federal government or the state government or the local government. And we don't know what this outbreak of COVID-19, they call it this virus, how it might proceed. But I do believe, and by the way, if they just said you can't meet because you can't worship Jesus, then I'd say, no, we're not listening to that thing. But we're in a time of very much unknown, a time of very much that it could be a very, what's the word I'm looking for, contagious time and contaminated time. By waiting, hopefully let some of that die down, and we'll be able to gather together. But I do believe that God has his hand in all this, what I'm saying. We don't know what the future holds, but God's in charge of it. God's in control of the whole thing. It didn't take him by surprise. And God has graciously given us warning and has allowed us to be safe thus far. Amen. Just think about those in China and Italy and other countries that had no warning. They were taken totally unawares, and the things happened so quickly they didn't know what was happening. And God has graciously given us warning and allowed us to take precautions. Amen. God has graciously given us the potential of gathering together around the radio and the internet to receive instruction and inspiration. He's granted us the opportunity not only to have religious broadcasting, but he's allowed us to still have active services in live, in real time. Amen. We can participate together even though we are apart. Now, with that being said, first of all, I'd like to encourage you to be faithful to gather around the radio. I've touched it already. Be faithful to gather around the radio at the designated times. Church service times, the same as they've always been. Amen. You're not able to get up and go to the house of God now? Get up, turn the radio on, and be attentive. Amen. Turn off anything that would be distracting from the service. Amen. You don't need the other stuff of the computer running. You don't need tablets running. You don't need television running. Amen. You ought to get around the radio like you would in the house, like you would if you were in the sanctuary. Amen. I ask you to sit reverently, pay attention to the services, not allowing yourself to become casual like you would normally, regularly just listen to the radio. It doesn't upset everything, but you ought to make this a special time of worship. This is still the Lord's day. Amen. This is still the Lord's gathering. Amen. Amen. You recognize that this is now your way of quote unquote going to church for the time being. Amen. Thus, we ought to be reverent and attentive. Amen. I say also, I encourage you to instruct your children and everybody in the family to be attentive and to act just like they would in church. Amen. Amen. Here's my reason. Because if you let your children run around and be noisy while the services are going on the radio, you'll be establishing the wrong attitude toward worship and toward these services. Amen. If you make them sit still, if you make them be quiet, if you make them pay attention, then you are inferring and reinforcing correct behavior, amen, for when they are allowed to come back into the public worship times, amen. Now, here's another thing, and I've touched this already, but I encourage you to participate with the service. Although you're not sitting in the auditorium, sing along with us. You know the songs? Sing them with us. Pray with us when we pray, amen, amen. Pray for the preacher, pray for one another, pray for the services, amen. And even respond by applying the message to your heart and life. Amen. It is a message for you just as if you were sitting in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. I'd also encourage you, again, this is to our members, I encourage you to send your tithes and offerings. Keep the station, keep the lights on, the bills paid, the church service is going on. Amen. And keep our missionaries supported. Amen. Keep the station on the air, amen. And you know you can do that by sending it in to the P.O. Box 1246. And that is Madisonville, Kentucky 42431. Or you can call in over the phone or through the computer. And I do suspect that our offerings will be down of what others are giving in because of the way things are, the scare, the fear. People don't know what's going to happen. But I encourage you to remain faithful to those things. Amen. And then one more thing, and I'll get to my message in a minute. I'd also like to remind you that you can call me. You can call me on my cell phone or call me at home or call us here at the church if you have any need. We are, now listen to me, we are still a church family. Amen. We are still a church family. We need to band together in prayer. Amen. We need to band together in spirit and in love. Amen. Even though we cannot band together physically in the same location at this time. But this will pass. Things will eventually get back to some vestige of normal. Amen. Sometime in the future. Now, having said that, here's what he said in the scripture, and I'm going to preach on this first sentence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, we know the holiest, he's talking about heaven. Jesus went into that holiest in the heavens. We can go to heaven. We can have boldness knowing we're going to heaven. But there's more than that. He's talking about prayer. Amen. Amen. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen and amen. Now, there's never been a time in our life, yours or mine, or in the life of our nation, when prayer has been more important than it is right now. Amen. I've been trying to read some and thinking some about how things were done. I mentioned last Wednesday, I guess, about how during the bubonic plague, the black plague came through. About when the cholera would sweep over England and just kill them, hundreds and thousands of them, and churches would be shut down, and that churches would become medical grounds in a lot of cases. That they would use. And I've been thinking about that. Preachers would preach and their messages were more important than they ever were. And people would pray and their prayers were more important than they ever were before. That's the day we're living in. That's where we're at on this day. Amen. These are uncharted waters. Amen. We've never been through this in our lifetime. Amen. And so I say we ought to pray for our president. We ought to pray for our national leaders. Amen. Amen. We ought to pray. They need somebody to touch heaven on their behalf. I'll guarantee you they're hearing from a lot of people, from a lot of different angles. And I know the tendency is to think everything's fixed by throwing money around. That doesn't fix things. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you're in an economic hole, spending more money never fixed anything. Amen. And that's not a political statement, it's just a true statement. Money can't fix it, but God can. Amen. Money can't solve the problem, but prayer can. Amen. And I'm glad prayer can. There are some that are sick and some that are afraid. They themselves are in uncharted waters. They've never been down this road before. They need our prayers at this time like never before. Those whose jobs and livelihoods are upended because of this shutdown, they need our prayers. Amen. There will be people that will come, quote unquote, come to the end of their rope. You know that statement? That they'll come to the edge of their sanity, maybe, because of this financial and economic upheaval. When the stock market crashed in the 30s, in the Great Depression, when the stock market crashed, there's people jumped out windows, killed themselves. There's people did other things. Listen, friend, that's not the answer, of course, but there'll be people that'll come to the end of themselves. They certainly need our prayers like they never have before. Some people, they won't be able to mentally cope with this seclusion thing. They got to be around people. They got to be contacting and groups of people. There's some people, they just won't be able to function. You think about people that they can't get their alcohol like they've been getting it, or they, a lot of different things. And I know there's ways that they can get certain things and such as that. But that people that don't have the opportunity, there's people they've been used to going out and partying every weekend. They can't do that now. There's going to be an anger. There's going to be a resentment. There's going to be emotions well up in them. They need our prayers like never before. Amen. Need somebody to pray for their sanity. Somebody to pray for their sustenance. And somebody to pray for their salvation. Amen. Now the text that I've chosen for my sermon today deals with, I believe, the practical application. Matter of fact, every commentator that I looked at said verse 19 is the hinge of Hebrews, of the whole book of Hebrews. It said everything that went before verse 19 is dealing with doctrinal. And by the way, that's how Paul would write his epistles, if you remember. The first half would be doctrinal, second half would be practical. From verse 19 back, I should say, including verse 18 and back, is doctrinal. Verse 19 begins the practical side of this epistle. And he's dealing with what is practical. All the head knowledge we've got needs to be put in practice now. All the preaching we've heard down through the years got to be put in practice now. All the things that we've heard about prayer, it's time to put it into practice. It's time to pray like never before. Amen. Amen. So it's dealing with the practicality of all those doctrines. Amen. Now, I've got 3 points. There's three things we have in this verse that he's talking about that has been given to us because we're saved, because we're a child of God. There's three things we have. Look at verse number 19. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. I'm gonna stop there. We have access to God. We have boldness because we're brethren. We have boldness to enter into the holiest. I call this point number one. I call it the availability of access. The availability of access. Access to God is available. Amen. His door is open. Amen. We can come to him. Brother Earl Hughes said, that verse it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. He said in the hillbilly Hebrew, that means you don't have to stop at the door and knock. The door's open. Amen. You can come in and sit down and talk to Jesus. You can come in and sit down and talk to the Father. Amen. Since we're children of God, he said, since we're brethren, we have access to God. Amen. We don't have to go to an earthly priest down here. Hallelujah. We don't have to go to an earthly priest and ask him to go to God for us. We can go to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to God ourselves because of the blood of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. What an opportunity we have for comfort when we can call on our God, even when we can't call on anybody else. Just knowing that we can talk with our Heavenly Father, amen, about anything at any time, thank God we have access to the Father. Amen. We've not been shut out. And we don't have to be shy about approaching our Father. He said we can come with boldness. Look at it again, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. That word boldness means we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be shy. Amen. We can come to God because He is our Heavenly Father. Amen. Jesus made the way. Amen. Since Jesus made the way, we can come to our Heavenly Father with our troubles. Amen. We do need to remember that we are approaching a holy God. He calls us the holiest. In other words, even though we have boldness, we're not brash. Even though we have boldness, we're not sacrilegious. We're not pulling God down. Oh no, we're recognizing He's high and lifted up. And when we come into His presence, even though we have the boldness to come in, we recognize our humility that must be there. Amen. We recognize how lowly that we are. His throne room is the holiest. When that high priest would go into that holy place, we call it in the Old Testament the Holy of Holies, he could only go in one time a year. That's on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the highest, holiest day in all of Israel's feasts and their gatherings together. On that Day of Atonement, one time a year, that priest could go in behind the veil. Otherwise, never behind that veil. That veil, that was darkness behind that veil. That's where the Shekinah glory of God was at. They didn't even have a lampstand. They didn't have a light in there. Nobody was allowed in there. It was God alone. Except one time a year, that priest could only go in when he had the blood on him and when he had the blood in his hands. Then he could go in before God and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat and have an atonement for the sins of the people. Amen. But don't you know all the time that priest is in that holy place, he's trembling. Because he knows how holy this place is. He knows how high this place is. He's trembling. But God says to us here, we can come in, but we don't have to come in trembling, praise God. We can come in with confidence because the blood will be accepted. The blood has been applied. Hallelujah. Amen. Our sins have been washed away. Amen. We have boldness. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And by the way, when he's talking about the blood of Jesus, he's talking about the death of Christ on the cross. Amen. The sacrificial payment that Christ made for our sins. Amen. Shed his blood. Hallelujah. Died on the cross that you and I could be saved. Amen. And because of that, we can have admittance. We can have access to the throne of God. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have that access. If you're not saved, you're barred from entering in. If you're not saved, you cannot enter. By the way, you're not only barred from that holy place of prayer, you'll be barred from that holy place of heaven if you don't come to Christ. Amen. If you do not acquire the blood of Jesus Christ upon your soul, you will be barred from the presence of God. Amen. But now the word in our text, verse 19, the word boldness, actually means liberty. That's one of the definitions. It carries the idea of freedom of speech. Liberty of speech. Liberty to speak. Amen. You know, in a courtroom, they try to have some of that grandeur. They try to have some of that austerity that's there, that people respect the judge. They're showing their respect for the law. And you don't speak unless you're allowed to speak. They can tell you, they can hammer you down, gavel you down, as they say. They can shut you down, shut you up. Amen. But this scripture says that in the throne room of heaven, God has said, because of the blood of Jesus, we're allowed to speak. We can tell him our troubles, praise God. Amen. Amen. Because of the blood. The blood speaks for us. Amen. Therefore, we can speak to God. Amen. Amen. You see, when we got saved by the grace of God, at that time our heart was dirty. Every one of us, we had a dirty heart. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed our heart. Amen. Cleansed our heart from our sins when we accepted Christ, and now we are accepted with God. Amen. Now we have peace in our heart. Our conscience has been clean. We'll look at that in just a minute. Our conscience has been clean now before God. Therefore, we can approach Him with our petitions. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. There's the availability of access. Number two, there is the person in the pardon. The person in the pardon. Look at verse number 20 and 21 again. by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Here's our second having. We not only have access, we have a person. We have a high priest. Amen. Amen. Prayer is an invisible thing. Prayer is something you can, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It's a thing of faith. You can't see prayers going up. You might see somebody in the process of praying. You may see somebody the action. That's what I'm looking for. The action of praying. You can't see his prayers going up. There's also another invisible something. You don't see the person of Jesus who is ever living to make intercession for us. Yet we have him, praise God. We have that secret of prayer, that secret access, and we have that secret person, amen, that high priest, that great high priest that is there taking our prayers and offering them up unto God for us. Amen. You see, we are now part of the new covenant since we came to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He had to die that we could have this opportunity. Amen. But he's not dead. He says he's a new and living way. Amen. Now, when it says it's a new way, it doesn't mean it's a new way. The old way was the law. If you just kept the law, you get to God. No, that's not what it's saying. The old way was the symbolic way, where the high priest took a literal lamb, a literal sheep, out of the flock, inspected it, made sure there's nothing wrong with it, and then slaughtered that animal, innocent animal, by the way, slaughtered that innocent animal, and shed its blood, and spread its blood, sprinkled himself with the blood, sprinkled the blood along his way, and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. But that's the old way, was just a symbolic way. Now we have an actual way, because the literal Lamb of God was literally slain. Amen. He was an innocent sacrifice for our sins. Hallelujah. And his blood paid the price. Amen. His blood paved the way. Amen. We can come that blood sprinkled way, and we can go to that blood sprinkled throne, and we can pray to him that is not dead, but living right now, making intercession for me and you. Amen. Ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask the question, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? If so, you have access to God in prayer. If not, he died for you. He did all that for you. Why would you not seek him? Why would you not call on him? Amen. Now think about this great privilege we have. Not only availability of access, but the person in the pardon. This great person. Jesus did not just assign some angel to overlook me and you. He's doing it personally. That's why when Stephen was stoned to death, it wasn't Gabriel standing looking over. Amen. It wasn't Michael standing, it wasn't some other angel standing looking over. It was Jesus himself that was looking over the banister of heaven. Amen. When Stephen was being stoned. When Saul at that time was on the road to Damascus. Jesus didn't send an angel say, why are thou persecuting me? It was Jesus himself. He said, I'm taking it personal. Jesus has personally looking over the throne of heaven, looking over the banister of heaven. If I could say it that way, he's looking on your case and my case. And whether it's COVID-19, COVID-19, whether it's cancer, whether it's heart disease, whether it's diabetes, whatever the case is, whatever sickness or whatever ailment or whatever, loss of job, loss of family, loss of friends, whatever the case is, he is personally involved in our life. Hallelujah. What a privilege we have to be a child of God. Amen. Amen. Jesus is our personal guide and access to the Father when we come to him in prayer. Amen. We come because of Jesus. Amen. We come through Jesus. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. That means he gets all the glory. He gets all the honor for our access to God in prayer. He is unto us wisdom and righteousness. Amen. He is unto us all that we need. Praise God. Amen. Now here's my last point, and I'll be closing. I actually went a little longer than I thought I would, but that's all right. Not only Here's the third having. Look at verse number 22 now, the last verse that we read. Well, the last part of this sentence. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Not only do we have access, not only do we have the person, but we have comfort of confidence. Because he said we have full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Since Jesus has opened this avenue of prayer for us, we should have all confidence when we pray. Amen. It's not just, Lord, if you're up there. Oh no, we know he's up there. Lord, if you're listening. Oh no, we know he's listening. Lord, if you can do it. No, we know he can do anything. Amen. We ought to have confidence, full assurance. Amen. That God will hear us when we pray. Amen. We should take advantage of this opportunity. We ought to carry our loved ones to the throne of grace. We ought to lay them before the altar of God in heaven in prayer. Amen. Listen, I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to stay with it long, but I just want to touch this. This COVID thing's got everybody's attention, but we still have loved ones that are lost without God. We still have loved ones hooked on drugs. We still have loved ones in their drinking. We still have loved ones in their fornication. We still have loved ones in their, that whole party lifestyle mentality, even though right now they might not be doing it as much as they had because they can't get to it, but they still need our prayers. As a matter of fact, they need them more now than they ever have. Amen. That's why we still need to carry them to the throne of grace in prayer. Amen. Don't forget. Don't grow cold on carrying the needs of our neighbors and our loved ones to God in prayer. I thought about my neighbor straight across the street. He came over yesterday, brought a little thing over and spoke to him just a minute. We didn't shake hands. We didn't embrace. We stayed apart. And he just turned 80 this year. Just last month. I thought his wife's not in good health. And if this virus is as bad as they say and things go, like I say, he and his wife are both highly susceptible. I want to be praying for them. I want to ask God that he might protect them. And then I think about my parents and my wife's parents, and we've been trying to pray daily about this. And I've been calling every member's name in church in prayer daily, and especially when I get to the elderly, I try to really ask God to touch and help them. In this to protect them from these things. Amen. But we can have full assurance that God hears us when we call. Amen. The song it says, are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. We can have full assurance that we can tell him our troubles. We can come to God with full assurance of faith. Unwavering faith. Amen. Why? Because Jesus' blood has been accepted. We're not coming asking him to accept us. He accepts us because he has accepted the blood. Amen. I said it a minute ago, the blood speaks for us. Therefore, we can speak. Amen. Therefore, we have liberty to speak. And Jesus' blood has been accepted and therefore has made us acceptable in the beloved. Amen. How is that? Because our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed from an evil conscience. Amen. Amen. Now listen to this. Not only can we be sure that our record is clear in heaven, but our conscience can be clean on earth. He makes us a new creature. All those old things that we did, we don't have to do those anymore. Amen. All those things that we were guilty of, we don't have to be guilty of those anymore. Amen. We can live a clean life on earth. We can live a holy life on earth. And by the way, we should. Amen. All that's done through prayer and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me close with this statement. That last phrase of verse number 22. And our bodies washed with pure water. Several that I read said that's talking about baptism. I don't believe it is. The Jewish priest, this writer of Hebrews, probably Paul, has been alluding in the verses before this and the chapters before this, alluding to the priest and how the priest would offer daily and how that he would offer those daily sacrifices and how that high priest would offer that yearly sacrifice. He said that Jesus offered one once for all. Amen. Amen. It's not a daily, it's not a yearly, it's a one-time offering, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you only need to be saved one time. If you've ever really, truly been saved one time, you got it. Amen. Amen. Nobody's ever been saved more than one time. But some people think they have. Amen. You don't, if you get saved that one time, you're not gonna crucify Christ again. Amen. You're not gonna crucify Him again. That one time's enough. But that Jewish priest, in the symbolism that's here, that Jewish priest would wash his flesh and his clothes. And then he would go, he'd take that blood and put it on him and even on his clothes and go in before the Father, in before the, behind the veil, in before the altar there and make his sacrifice. Can I say to you this, our flesh washed. He's not talking about washed in baptism. Here's what I believe he's talking about. He's talking about we're just as consecrated to God as that priest was. Now that we're saved, our flesh does not belong to us. We're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to Him. Amen. Because we belong to Him, we don't have the right to continue on in the sins of the flesh. We don't have the right to continue on in fleshly things. Therefore, we ought to cleanse ourselves from these things. And by the way, praying people are holy people. Amen. If you quit praying, it's either because you'll quit being holy or you have already quit being holy. But real praying people are holy people. They want to live dedicated and consecrated unto God. Amen. God help us to do that. But here's how we can do it. Because we have access to God. We have the person living in us and He has cleansed us from our sins. Now, we have a new nature that longs after God. We have a new nature that desires the things of God, whereas our old nature did not. Now, our new nature does. Amen. And we want to walk in newness of life. By the way, that is what baptism represents. That the old man has died, and we put on the new man in Christ Jesus, and we're going to walk in that newness of life. God, help us do that every day. And there's never been a day more important than this one for us to do that. I was thinking about how that we don't have the opportunity to knock on doors like we have in the past. And by the way, if we didn't, if we didn't take advantage of that as we should have, we don't have that advantage now. Amen. But we still have opportunity to tell somebody and to show somebody. Matter of fact, one way we can do that is by not running around scared, but by trusting our God. Going to God in prayer and having a boldness and having a confidence that we can go through our life and bring Him glory. Amen. But mark her down. If this thing goes on for some time, if the death numbers start soaring and the infected numbers start soaring, there's people going to be looking for somebody with some good news. We better be ready to give an answer to them that ask. I'll tell you how we get ready. Joshua talked about this morning, studying our Bible, walking with God in our Bible, but there's another way too. Being on our knees, being around the throne, being close to God. Amen. We have that opportunity. We have that privilege, the great privilege of prayer. Amen. I'm going to ask Sister Katie if she'll come play us something softly on the piano as Joshua gets ready to take us off the air. God spoke to your heart. Would you do business with God? Would you call on Him for help? If you're not saved, friend, right now's the time for you to get saved. Run to Jesus. If you need help, give us a call. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be praying for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good Word of God, the truth of it, the comfort of it, the strength we get from it. Thank you, Lord, for this great access we have, this great person we have, this great comfort we have, all in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'd help those out there listening. I pray you'd help those here in the auditorium. Lord, help us to have confidence in our God, full assurance of our faith. Help us to hold fast our profession to bring you the glory and honor you deserve. We'll thank you. miracles. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.